there, everybody. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm your host, Ken Schneck. This is episode number 282. As always, you can get in touch with us by dropping us a line. Send an email on over to ken@thisshowisogay.com. Strolling over to thisshowisogay.com to learn all about the fun things happening with our little gay radio show that could. You can follow us on Twitter. The handle is This Show Is So Gay. And of course, go to the Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay, like us, because we sure as heck like you. We have such a fun show for you this week. We must get started with our first guest. Angelo Garcia is a recording artist, a songwriter, and a performer. When he was only 11 years old, he auditioned and was selected from amongst tens of thousands of children to become the youngest member of the world-famous boy band Menudo. While in Menudo, Angelo recorded 3 hit albums, toured the globe, sold out major stadiums and arenas, sold more than 6 million albums worldwide. On his own, he's released just a ton of amazing songs. He's also the founder, president, and CEO of his very own record label, Icon Music. Angelo, welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
Well, hello there. You actually did your homework on me. I am impressed.
Oh, there's more, man. There's more.
That's probably the best introduction I've ever had. You, like, gave very accurate information. I was like, wow. I was like, he really did, you know, his background check on me, and I love that.
Do people say, like, made-up stuff about you in your interviews?
I feel a lot of people believe everything that the internet says. They don't know how to decipher what is real from what is not.
Gotcha.
I feel like at times a lot of people are misinformed. Like, one big, like, huge mistake about me is that a lot of people tend to say that I've done pornography and I've never had sex on film.
There you go.
I did a semi-nude photo shoot for Paragon Men a couple of years back, which is when I came out. And then, curiously enough, Ricky Martin ended up coming out, I think, like, probably, like, 2 months after I did. So strange how that happened. You know, I mean, Ricky's a superstar. When he came out, it was a huge ordeal.
Huge.
You know, for him to finally acknowledge who he really is. And then my story resurfaced. So when the press started speaking about it, they started saying, oh, another ex-Menudo follows in the footsteps of Ricky Martin. And I was really bothered because of that, because I was like, me follow the footsteps of anybody? I'm like, I don't think so.
Right. Do you feel like he looked at your pictures and then he came out? I feel that happened within 2 seconds.
I have no clue. I've not talked to Ricky in a really long time, but what I can say about him is that I'm so proud of, like, his accomplishments. I feel that he's a prime example about what a gay man should be.
Yeah.
I mean, he's humble, he's successful, he's beautiful, and he's a father, which is one of my dreams. So
there you go.
I have a lot of pride for Ricky Martin and how he has paved the way for other gay artists like me and, like, Adam Lambert, etc. So
totally.
I'm really proud of him.
Well, we have so much ground to cover. Are you ready, sir?
I am so ready.
Well, we start with you as we start with all of our songwriters and performers and recording artists. Tell our listening audience why the medium of music, Angelo. What is it about music that lets you get your voice out there?
I could never imagine my life without music. I was the type of kid that I had my dad put taps under my shoes. Because anytime anyone would come visit my house, I was that kid that would, like, put on, like, tap dancing shows and sing for anyone that would give me the time of day. And I think my parents knew early on that I was, like, a natural performer. Like, I used to, like, admire, like, Sammy Davis Jr. and Frank Sinatra. And what I loved about them is how elegant they were in their movies and how they were men, but they were masculine, but yet elegant, and yet they were performers. And I admired that a lot, and I tried to emulate that as a child.
Nice. Now tell me, we have to talk about Menudo. What do you remember about the audition process?
I pretty much remember everything. It's vivid in my mind. I have, like, the memory of an elephant.
Nice.
Things in my brain, like, stay vivid. So I remember going into the audition, and I was always a really confident child. So when I went into the audition, I remember that the movie movie that was really popular at that time was Madonna, Who's That Girl, was a movie that I would watch a lot.
Loved it.
And the song was like a huge hit. So when I was little, when boys are little, their voices, it's easier to sing songs that are in female ranges because your voice hasn't changed yet.
Right.
So I sung Madonna song, Who's That Girl, and I don't know if you remember the singer Tiffany.
Oh, come on. I'm from New Jersey. What do you mean, do I remember Tiffany?
I sang Could Have Been So Beautiful, which is a beautiful ballad she put out. And when I was done with the audition, I remember I could tell, like, my life was going to change. Something inside of my heart and my soul told me. And the reason why I knew was because I saw the lady, because it was like two different phases I had to go through in order to be selected for the group.
Okay.
So I remember when I began singing, the lady's face lit up. Like, I could tell, like, she was in awe that this little 11-year-old boy had this, like, humongous voice. I left the audition, and my mom's like, so how do you think that you did? And I'm like, I got this.
Nice.
And sure enough, a week later, they were calling us to meet with the management and the big CEOs of, like, the company that managed the band. And I met with them in this recording studio, once again sang Who's That Girl for them. And 5 minutes later, they were offering me a recording contract.
Wow, look at that.
It was serendipitous because my mom took me on the audition. It was on a whim. It wasn't even because she thought anything was going to come of it, because my mom is from Spain. My mom's half Dutch, half Spanish. And her family owned a coffee farm, coffee and tobacco farm, on the island of Puerto Rico. So that's how my whole link to Puerto Rico began, was because my mom's side of the family owned a coffee and tobacco farm. So we went one summer to the island just to, you know, hang out and to, like, spend some time on the farm. And my mom saw a commercial on TV talking about searching for boys with talent to join the group Menudo. And, of course, Menudo at that time was this huge,
huge,
like, power force. So I was like, let's just take you just for fun so that you can, you know, dip your toes in the water and you can start getting used to singing in front of people. So I was like, all right, let's do it just for fun. And little did we know that 2 weeks later, I was going to be preparing to go on my first world tour.
Wow. Now, you said this in an interview. What an amazing quote. You said, quote, my experience was limited to school plays, and that was my first time being on stage in front of a live audience. I got scared and forgot the words to my song, so I played it off and said, sing with me. I did that for, like, the first few weeks and until the stage fright went away. That's incredible.
Yeah, that's true. It was really scary. You know what? Take a little boy that had just turned, because the week that I was selected for Menudo, I turned 11. When I auditioned for Menudo, I was 10 years old.
Wow.
The week that I got selected for Menudo, I had just turned 11. And my Spanish at that time was beyond, like, questionable. I mean, I was an American boy with some Latin descent,
right,
that barely knew any Spanish. So they gave me two songs to sing to introduce me to the band. And one of them was, they prepared a live, you know, cut of Could Have Been So Beautiful by Tiffany, because they were in awe of the way that I sung it. And they gave me this other song, which is the song, one of Menudo's huge hits in the U.S., If You're Not Here by My Side. But I had to sing the Spanish version.
Oh, boy.
I barely knew Spanish, so I was freaking out. And I had, like, less than a week to, like, polish it. So my mom would work with me because my mom's an opera singer. I come from an opera and a classical training background. And that's why it is that, like, if you've ever seen my Facebook page, it's not a genre that I can't sing. I can, if you know how to use your vocal cords, you can pretty much make your voice sound however you want it to sound. And I was fortunate enough to come from a musical background. My mom's training is in opera. My mom's a mezzo-soprano. And all of my family from my mom's side, it's either they sing or they play a musical instrument or something to do with music. So it's an innate quality that I have that's been carried through generations. So when I got on stage, All I can tell you is that I knew the song, like the back of my hand. But the minute that I got on stage, it's like someone came and pushed the erase button in my brain.
Oh, man.
So luckily, my mom prepared me. She's like, don't worry. She's like, if you forget the words or if anything goes wrong, she's like, just tell everyone, hey, everyone, sing with me. And so I followed suit. I followed directions, and thank God that that worked. Because I would just put the microphone and I would let them sing. And then as soon as the lyrics would come back in my brain, then I would jump in.
Oh my gosh, that's so incredible. So incredible.
Yeah.
Well, so much other ground to cover. There was one part in your career when you said, I'm going to open up a women's gym.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about what went into that decision.
One of my partners at the time, I was living in Miami.
Gotcha.
And one of my partners, his name was Chris Palumbo, and he is a genius. I mean, he graduated from Wharton, and he's really smart, and his business savvy is impeccable.
Okay.
So he was starting to flirt with the idea of, because there's a company called Curbs for Women.
Sure.
I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Yeah, of course.
Well, he loved the concept of Curbs, but he felt that it was lacking sophistication. So he created a model that was very similar to Curbs, but so much more sophisticated and so much more polished and so much more of a spa feel when you would go into the clubs. And we started to brainstorm and, you know, come up with ideas of how it is that we were gonna, you know, bring this to the world. And so we decided to just go for it. And for 4 years, I, you know, opened a series of women's gyms. We began in Miami. Now there's tons of them all over the nation from what I see, like, on the site and everything. So
oh, yeah.
It's apparently going really well, and I'm really proud of them. But at that time, I was also, when our relationship ended, which ended amazing because he's one of the most amazing people I know.
Nice.
I really needed to focus on a Spanish album and project that I was releasing.
Gotcha.
And it pretty much monopolized my time. So what I did was I had him buy me out. And he continued his venture without me. And I continued my musical dreams.
Nice. Nice. Talk to me about the importance of fitness in your life. It strikes me that's kind of important to you.
You know what? I feel fitness saved my life.
Tell me.
Growing up in the spotlight, and I wrote a song about this on my album, it's called Scandalous. Growing up in the spotlight as a child, you have handlers telling you what to wear, telling you what to say, telling you what to do, pretty much coaching you because you're a product. So from the time I was 11 till I was like 15 in the group, I pretty much had handlers. When I left Menudo, I began to work on my first solo album for Warner Brothers Latin.
Okay.
So I had handlers. And then I got signed to East West Records, which is a sister company of Warner Brothers in Europe, throughout my whole childhood from probably 11 all the way till I was like 26, 27. I had handlers. And when I was finally decided to go back to college and pursue my education and put my musical career on hold because it wasn't steering in the direction that I wanted it to. We'll go there later, but basically in a nutshell, one of my biggest dilemmas in the music industry has been that record labels will sign me, and because there's another Latin act that's big, like at that time Ricky Martin was big, they wanted to turn me into a clone of Ricky Martin or Enrique Iglesias.
Okay.
Because that's what was working. And so I had a lot of conflict with my labels because what I would tell them was, I don't want to be a copycat artist. I can't understand the concept of bending to sell albums and to introduce yourself as an artist. But when you copycat, you might have a few hits, but at the end of the day, you will always be the artist that copied Ricky Martin or the artist that copied Enrique Iglesias. So as a result of that, the record major deals that I've had throughout my career, I've decided to not go forward with future projects just for the simple fact of my artistic integrity, and I wanted to write my own songs, and I wanted to, I'm a hands-on artist. I write all my songs.
Okay.
So they weren't allowing me to do that, so that's when I decided to take time and pursue my psychology degree in college. And so when you're in a boy band and then have a solo career for the first X amount of years of your life and then are thrown into the real world without any handlers, I was 27 years old learning what I should have learned when I was 17, 18,
right.
19,
right.
20. So it was really fastidious for me, and it was really difficult for me to be able to manage an adult life at a point where I should have had it all figured out and had no clue what I was doing. So thanks to fitness, now that you understand the background of why it is that I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, thanks to fitness, I feel fitness centered me, and fitness kept me motivated and kept me away from the pitfalls that a lot of child stars have, which is they have handlers their whole life, and then they're thrown into the real world as adults, and they don't know how to manage themselves, and a lot of child stars self-destruct. Lucky for me, I had the intelligence to understand and see from the mistakes of, like, a Dana Plato or a Lindsay Lohan or a Drew Barrymore,
right.
or, and the list goes on and on, to understand I did not want to be another statistic, and I was in danger of becoming one. So I immersed myself into fitness, and I immersed myself into this healthy lifestyle. And don't get me wrong, I mean, I've done my share of bad, not bad things, but curious things, because when you're growing up, it's an innate quality for humans to be curious.
Right.
So, yes, did I experiment with drugs? Of course I did. Did I go wild at one point in my life? Yes. But I had the intelligence to understand that that path was going to lead to nowhere. And luckily, my parents instilled the morals and the values in me to value myself enough to want more out of life.
For our listening audience, give us that one fitness tip that we don't have that we desperately need.
If you have an hour to sit in front of the TV, you have time to go work out. The biggest excuse of people that work out is that they always say that they don't have time, but yet they have time to watch all of their favorite shows and sit down and couch surf and eat junk food. You know what? If value yourself enough to want the best of yourself, and even if you only give yourself 30 minutes a day to, like, take a brisk walk or go to the gym and do jump on the treadmill and a tweak in your diet, because you are what you eat, will do immense, like, positive value to your body and to your health and to the way that you feel. I mean, I'm 38 and people never clock me past 27.
There you
go. Living a healthy lifestyle is imperative, and for me, at least, I feel like it's the fountain of youth. I feel it keeps me young, it keeps me energetic, it keeps my brain working clearly, it keeps me centered. It's definitely done so many amazing things for me, and I am an advocate for fitness, and I will always be.
Angelo Garcia, did you just guilt trip me about my Netflix watching and I should be in the gym? Is that what just happened? It's not right.
I love my trash TV. I mean, I'm, like, so addicted to, like, The Real Housewives. It's not even funny, but if I had to sacrifice watching TV or going to the gym, it would always be, you know, sitting in front of the TV. I live a very active lifestyle. I love sports. I'm very sporty. I'm very outdoorsy. I mean, I live in New York City, so...
Yeah.
It isn't like I can hop, like, I could go to Central Park and get, like, that woodsy feel, but if I really want to, like, go hiking or something, I need to, like, probably venture, like, an hour out of New York in order to do that. But New York City has so much fun stuff that you can do. I mean, you will always see me. Anyone that knows me, my close friends knows. 9 times out of 10, as long as it's not snowing, you will always see me hopped on my skateboard, like, cruising, like, the city instead of, like, riding public transportation or the subway, and it's amazing for you. So little things like that, like if you could drive but could walk because it's a short distance walk, if you get to a building and it's only 2 flights of stairs up, take the stairs instead of the elevator. You know, little things like that that you might not think really make a difference, really do make
They make a difference. They make a difference. Well, we have to talk about, you know, your presence on social media.
Let's do it.
How can – I don't – Angela, I'm not even sure I would know how to begin to describe how your social media life has, like, exploded over the past year. Has it not?
It's – I can't believe it. You know what? I pray to God, like, a lot of people, like, look at me, and because I'm gay and because I'm over the top and because I'm, like, wild, like, I'm, like, kind of like a wild horse that runs unbridled, I need to be able to spread my wings. I'm a free spirit. They tend to confuse that with not being spiritual or, like, with living this crazy lifestyle, and it makes me really sad that people are so uncomfortable in their own skin that they can't allow themselves to at times be goofy or, like, poke fun at themselves or, you know, have fun and, like, be silly and understand that only because you're allowing yourself to do that doesn't mean that you're, like, strung out on drugs or, you know what I mean, or have mental issues. So, yeah, in the last year, I mean, my social media, like, persona has exploded. I don't even know why it has, but what I do know is that my fan page, I call my fans soldiers, my soldiers. And the reason why I do that is because soldiers, one of the definitions of soldiers is anybody that stands for a cause, like a soldier of God. Religious people are soldiers for the Lord. Well, I was like, soldiers. I was like, that word is such a strong word, and it has so much meaning for me because I stand for so many things that I want the people that follow me to understand that they're, like, kind of, like, part of, like, the Angelo army, and that, you know, that I am a recording artist, and that I am artistic, and that I can be silly, and that I can be all of things. But there's a deeper meaning to who I am. Nice. Underneath all of this huge personality and stuff that I put out. So when I started posting songs on Facebook, because my page was stuck at like 5,000 followers for a really long time, and I was exorbitantly frustrated because I could not break through and connect. When I finally started sharing my music and my vocal ability with the public, my page went from 5,000 followers to 20,000 in like 2 weeks.
Wow.
So, and it's been an ongoing thing since then. I mean, only this week alone, my page grew over 12,000 people in a week.
There you go.
Yeah, so that's about 2,000 people a day, give or take, like 100, like rounded off. It's like 2,000 people a day. And I cannot believe it. I mean, I thank God every day because my biggest dream is to – I want to conquer the world with my music. I want to be able to touch as many different demographics of people in the world via my music and teach people that they can be free to be who they are and be proud to be who they are. And a lot of people tend to, like – try to, like, put me in a box, and then when they see who I am, it kind of almost rubs some people the wrong way because I am don't fall into the, like, stereotypical molds and cliches of what you would think somebody that's muscular and tattooed would be like. I'm not a stupid person by any means. I am not superficial. I am not self-centered. I am not vain. I am not a lot of these things that people tend to categorize muscular. What one lady tried to call me once, the Jersey Shore syndrome, and I'm like, excuse me, I was like, but on your best day, you will never be more intelligent than me on my worst. So, it was really funny to be able to break taboos and break stereotypes and show people, you know what, I am muscular and I am this, you know, I have this bad boy image, but you know what, inside of this package, there's also a sensitive person that cares about the world and that cares about the people around him and that definitely has an innate desire to make the world a better place.
Now, I don't, you know, ours is a positive, happy-go-lucky show, but I do want to pause for one second because I know you have a positive spin on it. You have hundreds of thousands of folks following you on Facebook and watching all your videos. And in those hundreds of thousands, as one would expect, there are a few folks. Can we call them haters?
I call them my tragedies.
Your tragedies. That's better than haters. So you have your tragedies. And what do you make of those folks?
I feel that people that go out of their way to go on your page and insult you and call you names and put you down and try to convince you that you don't have talent, because this is what they do to me. I had this guy once, like, every time that I would post a song or, like, a photo or something, it was like I could never do, like, right, like, by him, because in his eyes I was ugly, I was fat, I didn't have any talent, and he didn't understand why other people liked me, because in his words, his ears would bleed every time that he would hear me say. So what do you do with people like that?
Right.
I mean, this is a free country. It's a democracy. It's like, no one's putting a gun to your head to make you go on my page, to troll my page, and then randomly insult me on every post. And then you're trying to say there's something wrong with me. I think that you need to take a deep look in the mirror and figure out what's wrong with you when you feel it necessary to troll somebody else's page that is just peacefully doing his thing and sharing his talents and his passions and his desires with his fan base, and you're going to invade my territory and my lair in order to insult me and tell me that, you know, to stick to my day job.
Right.
And I die laughing. I'm like, this is my day job. It's been my day job since I was 11 years old. So I feel badly for people like that, because people like that seem to me to be very insecure.
There you go.
I have the intelligence to understand that not everybody's going to like the way that I look, and not everybody is going to like my voice. I mean, I would be ridiculous and a huge egomaniac if I thought, oh, everybody loves me, I am the best. You know, I mean, that would be ridiculous. I mean, even some of the most amazing singers in the world, like Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston, I've gone on their pages and people exactly the same. Ugh, I hate your voice. Like, you can't sing. All you do is scream, and et cetera, et cetera. So there's always going to be people that are going to like you, and there's always going to be people that dislike you.
There you go.
But only because you dislike me, it doesn't give you a right, because what they try to do is say, oh, because I'm very outspoken. If somebody is, like, really mean to me and insults me, I will tell them to F off. You know what I mean? I will, like, you know, I am very outspoken and I speak my mind. So when somebody takes me to that point where I'm like, no, this crossed the line, it's so disrespectful, I will tell them to F off. You know what I mean? And that's what a lot of my followers, like, love about me. And I make them laugh because they're like, you're so real. It's like no other recording artist would do that, but I do that. And you know what? I do it sometimes just to, like, and giggles.
There you go.
I'm, like, kind of twisted like that. And also because I feel like it adds, like, kind of, like, comedy and, like, drama to my page, which I love.
Well, I still say, though, I'm gonna be the producer, and I'm going to set up a show with you and the comedians Dick and Dwayne. I don't know if you know them, but I think it's going to be hilarious because they love featuring your videos, and it's going to be fun. Now, we're going to do our last segment. We're going to do a little word association for you, okay? So I'm going to throw some concepts out at you, and you give me one or two word responses. You ready?
Let's do it.
Okay. Miss Trixie.
My baby.
Okay. He-Man.
My childhood idol.
And if people have not seen the pictures, you need to stroll on over and see the pictures of Angelo as He-Man. Okay, we're going to keep going. Be Free Foundation.
That's my gift to the world.
Nice. Nice. Okay, this is the big one. Are you sitting?
Yes.
Because this is, you know, I don't want to boil your career down to two words, but I'm going to do it.
Yes.
DuckTales.
Woo!
That was the only way you could have gone. That was the only way you could have gone. That concludes our word association segment. All right. Now, tell everyone, what do we need to know about what you have coming up, sir?
Oh, I'm so glad that you asked me that. Actually, when I started this project, this is really weird, what I've gone through in the last 2 years, my whole life has taken a total, 180. I was going down this, road to nowhere, and I'm not saying that because I was, wild and crazy and was living La Vida Loca or anything like that. It was just, I was having a really hard time trying to figure out what I wanted to do in life, because I was in school pursuing my psychology degree, and although I'm really passionate about psychology, because my whole thing was, if I couldn't touch people via music, which is my passion, I still want to be passionate about what I do in life. I cannot just get a degree in anything just because I need to pay a paycheck, because I would never live a happy existence just living to pay my bills without feeling that my heart is invested in what it is that I'm doing. So when I decided to pursue my psychology degree, it's because I was abused as a child. My dad was really violent towards me and towards my mom, and so I didn't have a really good childhood. And then being thrown at 11 into an adult, I pretty much lost my childhood. Being thrown into a boy band at 11, it's pretty much your childhood ends. You have to start thinking like an adult. You have adult responsibilities, you know?
Yeah.
So when I started to try to figure out my life, the only thing that I knew was that music was my biggest frustration, because my dream was always to want to be a superstar and to be able to sing in arenas and have my songs on the radio and do music videos. But as I told you earlier on, I always had these conflicts with my record labels, because they always wanted me to record this superfluous bubblegum fluff of whatever it is that was working at the time, and they weren't allowing me to own my songwriting skills, which I understand. Record labels are associated with publishing companies, so why would they want me to write my own songs when it's in their best interest for me to record what they own? So I had a lot of conflict with record labels because of that, and for the longest time, I just felt like I could not find my way, especially being a gay artist. I mean, my whole entire life, especially when I started to realize that I was homosexual, was that everyone in my entire life used to always tell me that, oh, if you ever come out of the closet, no one's going to love you. If you ever come out of the closet, nobody's going to like you. You're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be shunned, and your career's going to be over. So I carried that fear in my heart for so long, and pretty much lived a double life. And the people that were close to me knew, because I was out of the closet to my mom and the people close to me since I was 18.
Okay.
But to the entire rest of the world, I was showing someone who I wasn't, because of fear that I wasn't going to be accepted. And so when I finally gave up the fact that, that I'm going to be who I am regardless of whether or not it affects my music career, and owned who I was and shared who I really was with the world, I feel people saw the authenticity behind that, and something that I always thought, because everybody else told me, would backfire on me, was actually implemental in me helping me build my fan base.
Wow.
So it's really funny how people always tell you things and they were so wrong, because now that I am myself, people love me for that.
Yeah.
And I feel so humbled and so grateful that I am able to be who I am, and that people love me and encourage me and support me because of that. So when I started my music career, I was doing my psychology stuff and in college in San Francisco, and I had just gone through a really bad breakup. So I was living in this $2,000 $2,500 apartment alone. I was a full-time student. I was like, I didn't know what I was going to do because I was a full-time student and my partner had moved in with me because he was like, let me take over the bills and you focus on school full-time so that you can get your degree twice as fast. And if you're like working full-time and you're going to school part-time, it's going to take you forever to get your degree. So I was like, well, that makes a lot of sense. So I did that. So when we broke up, I needed to reevaluate my life. And I was really scared because I was like, I'm going to have to, like, you know, go back to working full-time and put my degree on hold. I'm like, I don't know what to do. I was really nervous. I was really scared. A week after my ex-partner and I broke up, I get tagged on a photo in Facebook, and the girl's name is Maria Luke. And I'm like, that last name is so unique. I'm like, the only other person that I know with that last name is William Luke. He's the person that wrote this first Spanish hit that I ever recorded called En Mis Sueños. It's this really beautiful ballad that was a huge smash in Latin America. So I go on her page, and sure enough, she's his sister. So I email him, and I'm like, do you remember me? And he's like, I would remember you. He's like, who are you? And I'm like, read the name. And he's like, it can't be. And I'm like, it is, because I transformed so much from who I was as a child to who I was as an adult. And he was used to having the child image of who I was. So he's like, oh, my God. He's like, I can't believe that it's you. So we started talking and reminiscing and doing what you do when you don't talk to friends for years. And he was like, funny that we like got back in touch after so many years. He's like, I'm sure that at this stage in your life, you're an amazing songwriter. And I'm like, yeah, it's like one of my passions. He's like, how weird that I got in touch with you. I've been looking for a hunky muscle, like sexy man to record this like dance project that I've been trying to pull together. He's like, why don't you come to Spain and record an album? And I'm like, are you serious? And then he's like, yeah. And I'm like, no, but I'm going through all this. I'm like, I have school, my apartment, because I had a lot of things that I needed to like figure out before I could just say, okay, yeah, sure, I'll go to Spain and record an album. No, this is the real world. You know what I mean? Can't just go to Spain and put my life on hold.
Right.
I'm going to pay for things. So he's like, listen, the school year's a month away from being over, which he was right. And he's like, figure it out. He's like, there's an opportunity for you to do what you love. He's like, use all of that negative energy and everything that you've been through and write about it. So it's like, he's right. So what did I do? I got a roommate to rent the spare bedroom that I have, and I sublet my apartment temporarily, my bedroom, to somebody. And that's how I was able to keep my bills current while I went to Spain and I recorded my album. So I was in Spain for 4 months recording this album. Serendipitously enough, felt right on my lap exactly when I needed something to grasp onto to give me hope for my life after like being in a 4-year relationship and finding out that my partner was cheating on me and, you know, all of this yucky stuff. And it was my ray of light. And I went to Spain. I was there for 5 months. And sure enough, one of the songs that I birthed while I was in Spain is a song called Delusions of Grandeur. And the chorus goes as so. You said you thought that I was weak, but I am strong. You thought that I would crumble. You are wrong. You filled my mind with mockery and banter, delusions of grandeur. You gathered, ascertained, tried to surmise. You thought you had me psychoanalyzed. You thought my mind was blinded by your rapture, delusions of grandeur. And so that's my new single, and it's about my breakup.
When will it be released? We're all waiting.
I can't wait. I find out this week. I actually contacted because my management is out of Florida. They've managed artists like Britney Spears and like Backstreet Boys and Pink. I mean, they're like big time. And that's something else that kind of like was everything that's been going on in my life for like the last year to 2 years. It's been a series of like serendipitous events. So when I recorded my album, I was like, well, I'm going to have to figure out how I'm going to you know, a music video. So I remember if you look back like a year ago on my page, I was like, I'm throwing it out into the universe and I'm owning it and I'm claiming I will find somebody to film the video for my first single. Like 2 weeks after that, I had a photo shoot. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Black Party. It's a fetish
Yes, of
party.
Course, yeah.
They needed models to do that, and I fit the part because I'm, like, big and, like, muscular, and that's what they wanted. That was the theme for this month. So I did a photo shoot for them, pretty much dressed in, like, fetish gear, like, rubber and, like, latex. It was really fun. And I met this girl, and we hit it off. She's, like, one of my best friends now. Her name's Alice Miller. She's from UK. She was with a camera filming, like, behind the scenes of the photo shoot. And we started talking, and we, like, instantly hit it off. I had Trixie with me. She fell in love with Trixie. The only thing that I know is that I started talking to her just about who I was, because we were sharing, you know, about each other's lives and, you know, experiences and bonding, because we hit it up. And as I'm talking to her and telling her, well, I'm a recording artist, I was like, I'm trying to find someone to do this music video. I was like, I'm on zero budget. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I was like, but this is my dream, blah, blah, blah. And just, you know, sharing, like, my passions and my dreams. And she's like, I do music videos.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, a month later, we started filming the video. It took 7 days. I mean, we filmed all around New York City. We filmed on the Brooklyn Bridge. We filmed in the subways. The video is over. I mean, it is so scandalous and so cutting edge and so controversial. Pretty much who I am, because I am a very controversial character. And it's so representative of who I am as a human being. It's edgy. It's wild. It's fun. It's free-spirited. I mean, I'm so proud of this video and, like, what it represents for me. And I feel really, really humbled and grateful that I'm finally going to be able to share with the world something that is a brainchild from my heart and my soul, and something that represents me as the artist exactly the way I want to be represented.
I love it. I love it. Well, here, listeners, you guys all need to just go over to Facebook, type in Angelo Garcia. It will take you right to his page. Look, you are living your life openly. You are living your life honestly, and you are so accessible to your fans. You're putting yourself out there on social media. I really have not. I've been doing this show for a long time, and I've not seen something explode like this. So you are bringing people together through your music, through just being who you are, and it's so much fun to watch. And my hope is that you are just having a blast doing it, because people are really appreciating what you're doing.
Well, thank you so much. Actually, I am. I mean, I feel really connected to, like, my public, and I feel really grateful that I finally feel like people understand, you know, who I am and what I represent as an artist, and that I'm able to break some of the gay stereotypes and taboos. Because, I mean, I'm sure that you know, being a gay man yourself, that people tend to want to put gay people in a box. So they automatically think gay, especially heterosexual people. And they think, oh, there's a guy that likes to dress like women, wear heels, they like the feathers and the glitter, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And although that side of gay people does exist, that's not the only side of gay people
right.
that exists. Gay people are your police officers, they're your firemen, they're your doctors, they're your lawyers, they're your teachers, they're your neighbors, they're your best friends. And what I'm trying to make people understand is that don't try to put other people in a box, because I'll read you a quote that I put on my page today, and it's exactly because of that. And it's because I told these a couple of ex Menudo fans to, like, basically go F themselves after them being really rude on my page several times and basically been criticizing me because of my sexuality and because of my lifestyle choices, and it rubbed me the wrong way. So at one point I got so fed up with it and I told them that they could go F themselves. Then they got offended at me that after them disrespecting me so many times, I finally defended myself. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry that I'm not sorry that you are offended at me for me treating you in the manner that you treated me the entire time that you've engaged me. So I put this quote on my wall, and today I actually talked two different quotes. The first one is, if somebody ever makes you feel bad for who you are based on the fact that you do not fit into a specific mold, listen to me very carefully. There is nothing wrong with you. However, there is something seriously wrong with them if they actually think human beings come in molds. Be free, free to be who you are. So that's the first one that I put, basically addressing that. And the second one that I put today was, everybody deserves to be respected for who they are. If somebody does not, I would definitely suggest that you stand up for yourself, not with violence, but with intelligence. Make sure that the people around you understand the concept that they must respect you for who you are and not what they want or wish that you could be. Stand tall, stand proud, be proud of who you are. So that's pretty much my message to the world.
There you go. Well, there's the message. Everybody, be proud of who you are. Angelo, I'm telling you, man, we are proud of you. Everybody, please go to Facebook. Follow Angelo there.
Thank you so much.
On behalf of DuckTales fans around the world, I thank you, sir.
DuckTales.
Life is like a hurricane here in Duckburg. Race cars, lasers, airplanes. It's a duck blur. Might solve a mystery or rewrite history. DuckTales.
All right, folks, and we are back, and I am not by myself. I have been promising this for weeks, and indeed, I am joined by...
Becca!
You came back.
Roommate's back.
And you brought a little friend with you.
I did!
Who did you bring with you? Introduce your friend.
He happens to be my little brother, Adam.
Hi, everybody.
Wow, Adam, it's your first time on this show, It's So Gay. Talk us through that.
I'm very excited.
Can we get right to the important topics?
Please.
Jump in.
All right, Uncle Steve, yay or nay?
Yay.
Yeah, 100% right?
100% yay for Uncle Steve.
Well, you already weighed in. I'm going with Adam now.
Which uncle, though? Because we have our Uncle Steve on
right.
our dad's side,
okay,
and then our Uncle Steve on the mom's side.
So I don't know if you know, it's called This Show Is So Gay, so let's go with the gay one.
All right, gay one, absolutely yay. And yay to the dad's
yay
side.
To
yeah.
Both.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure the dad's side's great. But Uncle Steve, the gay one, we love him.
We love him
he's
to death.
Out of a man.
Well, I actually brought in some topics. Tell everyone what you do, Adam, in your spare time.
I am a stand-up comic,
okay.
And also I run a storytelling show.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
We've been to that.
It's wonderful.
It's
that's
fun.
Where I met you.
That is where we
Memories.
Met. Right?
Yeah, that's where we met.
And now we're getting an exterminator together. It's like it all comes together here in the attic of 6110 Fur. Please come visit. So I actually have a gay comedy story that I put together just for you.
Great.
Okay. So this week they released a report that Tracy Morgan is going to try to make a comeback. So Tracy Morgan, formerly of Saturday Night Live, and then from 30 Rock. Were you a 30 Rock watcher?
Sure. Yeah. Really funny. Tina Fey is awesome.
See, I've never seen it.
Oh, it's great.
Becca?
30 Rock? No.
No.
Great
I went years of my life without television. So if it relates to pop culture, I'm pretty much in the dark.
All right. Let's focus on Adam. So... So 30 Rock. So actually what happened, it happened on This Show Is So Gay that I swore off 30 Rock because I had never seen it. I was going to start watching because everyone said, oh, Tina Fey's great. But then Tracy Morgan in one of his stand-up routines went just crazy homophobic. So he went like nuts so homophobic and was saying like really horrible things about how gay kids should just kill themselves.
Now I feel awful saying, oh, it's a funny show.
No. Because it is a funny show. It is a funny show. I'm just saying that I drew my line in
sure.
the sand and just
sure.
said, okay, I feel like I'm a little uncomfortable supporting the show just because, you know, Tracy Morgan says these horrible things.
I had a weird interaction with him at Ohio State.
You had a weird interaction with Tracy Morgan?
I don't want to interrupt
this.
This
was totally
story,
an Adam
though.
Story, but now I'm more fascinated by this. Go for it.
This seems like forever ago at this point, but
okay.
I was at a bar at Ohio State, and it was country night, okay? One of my roommates and I were there together. Her name is Ryan, and she is a beautiful African-American girl, and we ran into Tracy Morgan, who was at this bar, and she's all like, you know, a couple 32-ounce beers deep at this point.
Right.
And she's like, Tracy Morgan, I'm here, you're here, it's country night. And he goes, why you gotta make this a race thing? And she was like, I'm black too. Like, it was just very confusing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
I feel like that story sets the stage for, I don't really like him.
He's socially insensitive, yeah.
Well, socially insensitive. Here's the question. When does comedy go too far? And can we bracket these things? So he said these things not on 30 Rock, because it wouldn't have happened on 30 Rock. Very gay-friendly show, from what I hear. But he said them, you know, in his other life, and I then wasn't able to support the rest of his career. Now, his defense is, it's comedy. I'm there to entertain. So the question for the only comic in the room right now, which is you,
Lord,
when does it go too far?
It always dips into whether or not it's a hate thing or whether it's funny and unique. I mean...
Adam is really good.
So
Adam,
rough.
And this is Adam in comedy, and this is Adam outside of comedy. He doesn't like to laugh at people ever,
right?
Ever, which is a real. I mean, and that's not good quality comedy. Doesn't laugh at anyone. It doesn't delve into like hatred and making fun and bullying, and more pokes. I mean, Adam's good at poking fun at like our absurdities as humans.
Why be mean, you know, but
right?
It's like the, it's Louis C.K. had a great bit where he talks about how he was driving with his then wife, seeing a very flamboyantly gay man on the street corner acting very just outrageous, and Louis laughing at it, and his wife saying, don't be so mean, that's awful, you're laughing at him for being gay, and he's saying, no, I'm laughing at him for being so weird.
He's just silly.
Look at this man out on the street corner wearing a tutu and rollerblades. It doesn't matter if he's gay or not. But it's borders on that line of whether or not it's homophobic or not. But I don't think he... I haven't seen the Tracy Morgan. I don't know.
Oh,
I haven't seen it. I believe you.
But you don't have to go there.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
I completely agree.
I am with you 100%.
But now here's the other question. Is it fair that I have no ability to bracket his entertainment life? So he said these things in his stand-up comedy life, and to me, even though that's not even remotely his character on 30 Rock, now, no, dude, I'm not watching 30 Rock now.
Yeah.
No, I think that's totally fair.
Okay.
Yeah, just because, because someone acts one way in one medium, but then they act another way in a different, how can you separate the two completely?
The
you
two.
Can't. No,
I got black for
like,
it.
I mean, you don't want to support somebody who... is hateful. It's like we were talking about a few weeks ago, you know, when you had me like weeks and weeks ago on the show.
Yes, before you needed to take an emotional break of a month. Yes, go ahead.
By the way, you saw me a picture on the website. This is number 3.
No, now it happened.
Yeah.
Now it happened.
But we were talking about how we wouldn't, let's say there's a great shop, but it's owned by somebody who's a white supremacist. You can't shop there just out of moral concern.
Yeah. A lot more of those stories, by the way. So many more of these bakers coming forward and saying, no, I just can't. I couldn't possibly bake for the lesbians. Now, we don't have time for that many more stories, but I do have one more that I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So I know, Becca, that you are like one of the biggest Jonas fans in Ohio.
The biggest.
Who dat?
See?
Really? Nothing? Jonas Brothers? You got nothing?
Is Justin Bieber one of them?
No.
Bieber, is Bieber a Jonas? No?
No, it's 3 Jonas Brothers. Adam can name them. Go, Adam.
Timmy, Mark, and Josiah. That's them.
So close. So close. No, it's Nick Jonas, Joe Jonas, and then the other one that nobody talks about.
Right.
Here's the deal with Nick Jonas. You guys you haven't heard about Nick Jonas at all lately?
I've heard of them, but I don't know who he is.
Okay, so Nick Jonas is everywhere right now. So he's promoting some new show that's coming out, and he's got a new album coming out. And basically, what he is being labeled as right now is a queer baiter.
What does that mean?
I know, I'm going to go into it. That's why we do this. So he basically, I will show you a picture, and even though this is radio, other people can't see it. He just keeps doing things like this, where he releases photo spreads where he's half naked.
Oh, heaven.
And
got a handful.
He's got a handful. But this is what he's doing, and he's like, he releases these shots, and he's not gay. They all wear their purity rings. What do they call them? Their commitment rings?
I believe it's a contract to Disney.
I think
that's what that is.
But yeah, so he has this whole pure image, but now he's doing all this stuff where he is constantly shirtless. I think that's it for our pictures for now. You guys are like,
no,
really?
We got enough.
But he's getting a lot of slack because he's just out there at the gay clubs, not at all gay, just stripping down, really baiting the queers to get them to tune in to all the projects that he's doing. And so some folks feel that he's perhaps exploiting the gay community by constantly stripping down, and when in fact, you know, not at all gay, but really appealing to the gay fans in that way. So of course the question is, Adam, how far would you go?
How far would I go?
So, and let me connect it. I want to connect. Let me just set the stage even a little bit more so let you ponder that. He's blushing on
grabbing my, grabbing my junk means getting some fans.
Right?
No, but I don't...
To me, it just seems very disingenuous. Like, if he's just doing it for the ratings, per se, of the population, what are you doing?
So, I just want to know, though... From a heterosexual woman's perspective,
yes.
Him grabbing his junk.
Sorry, I thought that was me. Go ahead, Jack.
Right. Him grabbing his junk, is that any way, like, sexy to you? And I am your little brother, so please.
Trauma alert.
Yeah.
Trigger warning, yes.
Not even a little bit.
Right.
Is that any way sexy to a homosexual man?
On behalf of all gay men everywhere, yes. No, those pictures are extraordinarily attractive and they're really working. Yeah. And that's the whole thing. And I want to kind of connect it. You know, we were just talking for a good 47 minutes to Angelo Garcia, and he certainly is out there shirtless, and you've seen him singing shirtless and puts himself out there in that way. And certainly any number of comments on his Becca's shimmying, which I wish radio waves could pick up, but, any number of comments of the thousands and thousands of comments Angelo gets on any video he posts are people saying, you are just so beautiful. It's not even about the singing, like, I love your pecs or I love your shimmy, you know, that kind of thing. So, but Angelo is gay and puts himself out there in that way. This kind of queer baiting idea of straight people blatantly playing to the gays, I don't know.
Plus the photos were multicolored, like kind of in a rainbow.
Yeah. So now they're just...
Yeah, a little subliminal. Yeah.
Right?
In there?
I mean, clearly.
Yeah. Very gay. Yeah. Very gay. I don't know. There's some that are giving him a lot of flack that it's really exploiting the sensibilities of gay people when in fact, you know, he's just kind of using the gay community and stripping down so that he can get ratings.
When he was younger, was he exploiting his good looks for the younger, like, preteen?
He's very Tiger Beat covered up, you know, very like, here's my chastity ring. I really want to know what they're called. Are they promise
rings? Promise rings. They're promise rings.
No, no, but promise ring is when, isn't a promise ring when you're, it's like, that's when you're with somebody. This is more that it's a covenant.
Like a purity ring?
Yes, it's a purity ring. Like, I will not have sex until you guys forget about me. So, so no, that was not his image at all. This is a total 180. This is a total 180. I don't know. I feel a little used. I mean, I want it to keep happening, but I feel a little uncomfortable with
it. If it's working for him, I mean, more power to him. I certainly think it's weird. I just think it's weird.
Yeah.
Like, what a weird thing to do.
He is constantly, every article out there is like this guy is as gay as possible.
Politicians do this all the time. They'll totally, what's the word I'm looking for, appeal to certain aspects of the population that they're looking to get votes from.
Right.
Whether it's, you know, the a minority population or whatever. This is kind of the same thing.
Yeah. There's actually a great SNL skit of Mitt Romney just appearing at every possible convention and just, like, playing to all of them. So, I don't know. It kind of feels like that.
Sure.
Now, here's the saddest thing about this whole thing. That's, like, all the time we have for on this week's
show.
I know. We don't really... Man. Will you come back? Because that was, like, nothing.
That would be
great. That was, like, nothing. We really... We have a lot of gay fun stories to cover.
Yeah.
So, and Becca... We will unveil it for the next time you are on the show. We will, that's when I will click submit and you will appear on the website.
Perfect.
Know that I get to choose the photo. And on that note,
no, okay.
The way, and I get to write the description. It's kind of awesome.
I can help you with the photos. Well,
okay, you help me with the photo.
I have a whole treasure
because
trove.
Pat and I are going to write the description together.
Perfect.
So it's all set. Guys, that's all the time we have for this week's show. Of course, our thanks to Angelo Garcia. Go check out everything that he's doing on Facebook. Our thanks to Becca. Our thanks to her little brother. Look how well you did.
Oh, gee whiz. Thanks, big sis.
Get out there. Oh, and you get to participate in the end tagline. You'll know what to do. Your keywords are so gay, you'll know when to do it, Adam.
Okay.
Get out there, folks. Go use your voice the way you know how to use it to make a difference for your LGBT and ally brothers and sisters. And while you're out there making a difference, please remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?